I'm from Boston. Conveniently, this means it's only a short commuter ferry ride across the harbor to see what might be some of the earliest fossils of large, complex life in the history of the planet. Below a marina ringed with condos and the trappings of strip mall modernity is a beach studded with the rusty spikes of some bygone wharf. At the far end of the neglected beach, low tide reveals slabs of ancient seafloor draped in seaweed, sloping into the sea. The rocks from the bottom of the ocean off the coast of a supercontinent near the South Pole poke out not far from the Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot. They are more than half a billion years old. No plaque or marker indicates that there's anything particularly interesting about them, but brushing back the rack reveals concentric ovals, no larger than a quarter, that pock the surface of the stone. The unassuming rings in the rock might mark the imprint where a fern-shaped creature anchored itself to the slimy silt at the bottom of the ocean at the dawn of complex life. This is where the story starts. On a planet that shares our name, but that's about it. It's impossible to grasp how long ago these creatures led their strange lives on the Antarctic Boston seafloor. It's doubly impossible to grasp how old the planet is, or how insignificant the role humanity has played on it. With his paean to the pale blue dot, Carl Sagan helped illustrate how utterly marooned we are in our tiny, far-flung corner of space. But we are similarly marooned in time, between incomprehensible eternities. Luckily, geologists have come up with some mental tricks to help us grok our place among the eons. One of them involves a footstep analogy, courtesy of the Carnegie Institution's Robert Hazen, that goes something like the following. Imagine each step you take represents 100 years of history. The simple conceit has stupefying implications. Let's begin our walk. We'll start in the present and head back. As you lift up your heel, there's no internet. One-third of the Earth's coral reefs reappear. Atomic bombs violently reassemble. Two world wars are fought in reverse. The electric glow on the night side of the planet is extinguished. And when your foot lands, the Ottoman Empire exists. One step. After 20 steps, you stroll by Jesus. A few paces later, the other great religions begin to wink out of existence. First Buddhism, then Zoroastrianism, then Judaism, then Hinduism. With each footfall, the cultural milestones get more staggering. The first legal systems and writing disappear, and then, tragically, so does beer. After only a few dozen steps, before you can even reach the end of the block, all of recorded history peters out. All of human civilization is behind you, and woolly mammoths exist. That was easy. You stretch your legs and prepare for what couldn't be much longer of a walk. Perhaps it's a short stroll to the dinosaurs, and a little farther still to the trilobites. No doubt you'll be at the formation of the Earth by sundown. Not so. In fact, you would have to keep walking for 20 miles a day, every day, for 4 years, to cover the rest of the planet's history. To reach the Big Bang, you'd have to keep trudging at the same pace for almost another decade. Clearly, the story of planet Earth is not the story of Homo sapiens. Almost all of that walk would be through a forbidding landscape with no complex life on it whatsoever. Not in the deep sea, not atop the mountains, not in the tropics, nor on the endless barren granite interiors of the continents. Save for the wind and the waves, ours was a silent planet for the most part during this nearly eternal preamble to animal life. Those first creatures, stamped in the rocks of Boston Harbor and elsewhere, came after 4 billion years on Earth, without anything on the entire face of the planet more exciting than pond scum. In fact, the years between 1.85 billion and 850 million years ago were so uneventful that even geologists have taken to referring to them as the boring billion. When a geologist calls something boring, reel in horror.